to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18. And we'll start at verse number 1 and we'll just read on. So Psalm chapter 18, verse number 1. David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you just for allowing us to be gathered together tonight. Lord, thank you for the songs that we've sang. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures we've read just to start with. And Lord, we have many more scriptures to look at tonight. And Father, we thank you that we have the truth of your word to guide us. Father, your word truly is a lamp unto our feet to show us where we're at, and it's a light unto our path to show us where we need to go according to your will in our lives. And we thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Father, that you care, Lord, just about the very minute details in our lives. And we thank you, Father, you see everything from beginning to end, and we can trust you every step of the way. Father, I ask that you bless your people tonight, and Father, that they would hear from you, they would walk away with things you've spoken to their hearts about, and Father, things that they could meditate upon, maybe an answer to a prayer, the Lord, just encouragement. Father, you know exactly what we need tonight, and Father, we ask that you would bless us according to your will, and we thank you for it, and we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. In your Bible, it may have a title at the top of this psalm, and it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. You think, you know, as David ran for his life for those many years as King Saul tried to kill him, David saw just the hand of God's protection, or God's hand of protection upon him, always watching over him, always protecting him. Even when King Saul would just get within really a matter of just a few feet from him, like even that first cave, that cave of Adullam, and how God just protected David just over and over and over again. And in this psalm, obviously, David wants to glorify God. He wants to talk about the fact that God's his God, and God provided protection, and God provided everything he needed. God provided wisdom. Because even though David was on the run for his life, he did need wisdom from the Lord, because there were many times where his own men tried to talk him into killing King Saul, when it seemed as though God gave him into David's hand. Again, there at the cave of Adullam, where David is hiding out, King Saul comes in, And one of his men says, surely God has, you know, put him in your hand. You can take his life. And David wouldn't do it because David was a man of honor. He was a man after God's own heart. And even though he just cut a piece of the robe off of King Saul, yet his heart was smitten by that. He felt guilty by that. And just the fact that God just protected him over and over and over again. And just like David, we have to recognize it and acknowledge it every day, the goodness of God in our life, and how our God is the only God that is reliable. Our God never fails. Our God never forsakes us. He always provides for us. He's always there for us. And as David even mentions, the fact that God was his strength in verse 1, verse 2, God was his rock, his stability. God was his fortress. God was his deliverer. God was his strength. And God was the horn of his salvation, his high tower and his buckler. I mean, just even though David is a man of war, yet he knows that God is the one that provided for him. God is the one that protected him. God's the one that gave him the inner strength to be able to keep pressing on, even on days where he might have felt, you know, just at the end of his rope, where he just wanted to give in. Because at one point, he did kind of give in, and he went to the land of the Philistines because he said that there was but a step between him and death because King Saul just would not let him go, just would not let him be, kept chasing him, kept hunting him down. But God was going to protect him because God had already ordained him to be the next king of Israel. So I want you to think about tonight just the fact that our God is the only reliable God. Again, people will trust in money and think that money is reliable, but you know, the dollar losing its value, riches, they fleet away. I mean, anything could happen. I mean, whatever stocks and bonds people have can disappear. I mean, people rely on jobs. They rely on retirement. They rely things of this world people rely on that really are not reliable. I mean, it's a 50-50 chance with the things of this world. But God, obviously, is a 100% chance that he will always be reliable to his people. And tonight I want us just to even think about the fact that God is reliable in his provision, because he provides exactly what we need when we need it. And just for David, to say he's King David, but in Psalm 18, he's not king yet, but he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. So the first thing I want us to think about is the fact that God always provides his presence. He provides his presence for us, whether it's in the form of strength, whether it's in the form of stability, as David mentions, just the rock, the fortress. I mean, David knew that God was there for him. Even though he couldn't see him, he knew that God was there. He saw God's hand of protection time and time again. He just saw God providing for him. I mean, sometimes hindsight's always 20/20. And think about David being on the run for his life. You would think once he sat on the throne, all that would be behind him. But then some family problems arise later on while he's the king, and he has Absalom, his own son, rise up against him, steal the hearts of the men of the city away from King David. They rise up against him to dethrone him, and David flees from the castle. I mean, he flees for his life and just leaves it in God's hands, and God brings him back after Absalom loses his life. But God was always good to David. God has always been reliable, and he's always reliable for us because his presence is always with us. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And time again, David saw the faithfulness of God. And you've seen the faithfulness of God in your life as well. Not that life has always gone the way you wanted it to. David's life didn't go the way he wanted it to all the time, because life is tough and life has its trials, but we always see that God is faithful. And for his people, his presence is always faithfully with us everywhere we go, and we know that. And look at Psalm 18, look at verse 2 again. He says, "The Lord is my rock." So you think about God and his presence and that rock, again, being our stability. Remember that Jesus gave that parable where he said that there was a man that built a house upon a rock, and when the storms came and the wind blew and beat against that house vehemently, that it didn't fall. Nothing happened to the house because it was built upon the rock. But then the other house that another man built upon sinking sand, he built the same structure, but yet when the storms came, the floods came, yet that house came crashing down because it was not built on a firm foundation. Again, our life being built upon the rock of Christ, Jesus Christ being in the presence of our life, or his presence being in our life, it gives us the stability that we need. Sometimes people think seeing is believing. Doubting Thomas said, "I will not believe except I see." And the Lord was gracious and showed up and showed himself alive to Thomas after his resurrection. Allowed him to see the prints in his hands and his feet and even in his side, and told Peter, "You know, put your fingers in. Thrust your fist in my side." And Thomas, after he saw, he just said, "My Lord." And the Lord Jesus said to Thomas, "You believe because you see." He said, "Blessed be they who believe and have not seen." Now, I haven't seen, and you haven't seen, the risen Lord. One day we will see him face to face. But that's what our faith is based upon. Our faith is in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who's always with us. His presence is always with us. His Spirit resides within every child of God that's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Again, his presence abides with us to protect us. He says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is probably next to Psalm 48, one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 46, and look at verse 1 and 2. Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." As David writes this psalm, he just reminds us that God is our refuge, God is our strength, and he is a very present help in trouble. We know that God is always there, ready to help when we need it. When we cry out to him, he's always there. You'll never get a busy tone when you call him. Like sometimes you call people on the phone, you may get a busy tone or they just don't answer. God always answers his children. You'll always get in touch with him. But not only is his presence abiding with us and he protects us, but we know that God always goes with us. Look with me at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And all these verses tonight are just reminding us that we have such a reliable God. We know that he's always there. We know he always has the answers. He has the wisdom when we need wisdom. And we'll look at that in a minute because he gives wisdom to those that ask. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus speaking to his disciples before he ascends up back to the right hand of the Father says, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, you know that God's always with you. That's an encouraging and comforting thing, but it's also a scary thing. Especially if you want to do things that are not right. Especially if you want to watch shows that you would not necessarily invite Jesus to sit down next to and watch. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus is always with us, but we've got to keep that on the forefront of our mind that, you know what? He sees everything that we do. He hears everything that we say. He sees every reaction we have to somebody who may not treat us the right way, who may say something not so nice to us. And sometimes I think we forget that God does see everything. The world believes that there is no God. And if there is a God, he's not interactive with people. But the Bible teaches us and tells us the truth that God is a personal God and that he does see everything, good and bad, and he hears every word. He knows every thought. So it's comforting to know that he's always there, but also it's kind of sobering that I better keep my complaining to a very minimum. Because wherever I'm at in life and God's with me, there's a reason. What did David do? Because think about David. What did David do wrong to cause King Saul to want to kill him so bad? And what he did wrong? He killed Goliath. He killed the giant Goliath because nobody else was willing to go up against him. And because he had a heart for God, he goes out there. God gives him the victory. They're going back into the city. The women come out singing their songs of victory and praise, and they say of King Saul that he's only killed 1,000, but David's killed 10,000. And man, that really filled King Saul with jealousy. So sometimes just doing right will cause somebody to hate you, and you can't figure out why. But God used it. Again, we can look at Scripture and see that God used it to prepare David to be the next king. He was working on David. And again, there are trials that God allows in our life to help build us, to help grow our faith, to kind of even purge sin out of our life, to help us to not have any doubt, but to have faith in God. So we know that God is always with us. And knowing that, we've always got to remind ourselves that we've got to be very careful what we're saying, what we're thinking, and what we're doing. Because as the children of God, we want to be great representatives of God. We want to make sure that people see an example of a believer, of a Christian, and we want to make sure our Heavenly Father knows that we do love him and that we do believe that he is with us and he sees everything. I want you to look at Psalm 37. So we know that God's provision is reliable, because his presence is always with us. And because he's always with us, his provisions always sustain us, whatever it is we may need. Again, David mentions many things: a rock, a fortress, deliverer, strength. I mean, everything, exactly what David needed. Every day he was on the run for his life, God was there giving him what he needed. Sometimes we wake up in the morning and we just need God's comfort to face another day. We just need to be assured of God's love because there's somebody else not being loving towards us. And sometimes we just need to be reassured that God will give us the strength and the ability to keep going on in life when on the inside we feel like quitting, because God has a purpose and a plan. Psalm 37, you look at verse 23 through 26. All right, we know that God's provision sustains us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. That's a wonderful truth. We fall in life, just like a child learning how to walk for the first time. And the parents are teaching that child how to walk, holding on to the hands. In some cases, you put the child's feet on your feet and you kind of walk with them, trying to help them to learn the motion. And then you start walking with them and you get to a point where even as a parent, you're a little nervous to let go, but you know you got to let go to see if they can keep doing it. And they'll fall down and they will continue to fall down until they really learn how to walk. But you know what? The older you get, you still trip and fall at times. I mean, just like earlier, I tripped over the speaker coming up here. I mean, it's just, you know, adults, you never stop falling. But spiritually speaking, the Lord's always there to pick us back up. You think about Peter, walking with the Lord 3.5 years, seeing all the miracles, being used of God in the ministry. I mean, he was part of the 12, feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000. I mean, he was part of that ministry. Jesus even gave Peter power at one point, along with the others, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, all of that. But yet, he got down to the end, and he denied he even knew the Lord, because he was scared to death. He didn't want to get caught up in the crucifixion. He didn't want to get thrown in prison. I mean, he just, that night, I mean, he wasn't prepared, even though the Lord told him what was going to happen. Yet he still denied the Lord. He spiritually, he fell. Well, that's it. Obviously, the Lord's not going to love him anymore because he denied the Lord. But what do we find in Scripture? We find later that Peter's fishing. He goes back to his previous occupation of fishing. Jesus comes to the seashore there at the Sea of Galilee, calls out to them. I mean, Jesus sought out Peter to reconcile the relationship. Peter thought it was done. I don't know if you've ever felt in your lifetime that, you know what, I've messed up. There's no way I can make it right. There's no way God's going to forgive me. There's no way that God's going to use me anymore. And then the Lord comes to you and speaks to your heart that once a child of God, always a child of God. Once saved, always saved. You make mistakes, but that's where the Lord comes in, and he helps us to get over those mistakes, to confess, Lord, I messed up, and then to keep moving on. That's what the Lord did with Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? He asked him 3 times, do you love me? And obviously Peter's like, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He says, okay, follow me. I got some things for you to do. See, the Lord doesn't want us to fall and just stay on the ground. He wants us to get up when we fall down. When we make mistakes, admit it, and just move on and ask the Lord for help. But the Lord always sustains us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God's always there holding you, even when you don't realize it, and I don't realize it. David goes on to say, I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. God always provides for us. He always provides exactly what we need to sustain us, whatever it may be, physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever the need, God provides it. In Psalm 65, verse 9, the Bible says, Thou visitest the earth and waterest it, Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Philippians 4:19 says, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And obviously we are sustained by Christ Jesus. He's our Savior. He's the one that resides within me, just as Paul said. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I want you to take your Bibles, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, because the third thing that God provides for us, and he's very reliable on providing for us, is wisdom. There's not a single person in this room that does not need wisdom every day of their life. Wisdom, we all have different decisions that we have to make, different things that come up. There's sometimes something just comes up out of the blue. You weren't even expecting it, and you've got to make a decision right on the spot. You need God's wisdom. Even when it's a simple, seemingly simple decision, we still need to ask God to give us the wisdom to be able to do and say in a moment's time what we need to do and say. James chapter 1, look at verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know, sometimes I don't know if you've ever done this. I don't know if you've ever spoken before you thought. I don't know if you've ever allowed something to come out of your mouth before you actually thought about what you were going to say and who you were saying it to. Because sometimes when people are at odds with one another and they're arguing and fussing, sometimes one or both parties will let things come out of their mouth that they regret, things that they cannot take back. Sometimes we might promise somebody will do something, and after the fact we realize, you know what, there's no way I can keep that promise. And God even tells us in His Word not to vow a vow that we cannot pay. But in Nehemiah was a child of God. He was an Israelite, and he was living in Babylon as a captive, and he was the cupbearer for the king at the time. And I want to find the verse here. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Now, during this time, and even even in earlier years, think about when you stand before a king, you were supposed to be happy all the time, even if you weren't. If you weren't happy, you were still supposed to fake it, because you were standing before the king, and just as he said, he had never been sad before, never had a sad countenance, all right? Verse 2 says, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Nehemiah was afraid because he didn't realize that his countenance was witnessing against what was in his heart. I mean, if you were to read in chapter 1, he had gotten word that the city of Jerusalem was, the walls were torn down, the gates were burned up. I mean, it was just desolation. And his heart broke for his home. His heart broke for his people. And it was all because of the sin of the people that caused the city of Jerusalem to be ransacked the way it was. But he was concerned for the people. He was concerned for the holy city. And he's standing before the king with a sad countenance, and the king questions him for it. And he's afraid. What's he going to do? In verse 3, and said unto the king, or I'm sorry, verse 2, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. We're just right there. I mean, the king asked him, what do you want? What do you want me to do about this? Now, he could easily just said exactly what he wanted, but he stopped and he breathed a prayer. The Bible doesn't say how long the prayer was. I'm sure it wasn't an hour-long prayer or a five-minute-long prayer, because he's standing there before the king. And, you know, sometimes when you got to give an answer or make a decision just at a moment's time, we still need God to give us wisdom. I can almost guarantee you that Nehemiah, just in that brief moment, asked the Lord to help him say what needs to be said. Lord, guide my words. Again, back in James, God says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Because you know what? Man's wisdom is not infallible. God's wisdom is. You've made decisions, I've made decisions that didn't turn out quite right, and maybe we regret it later. But when you and I rely on the wisdom of God, and we understand that God's wisdom is always reliable, God will never steer us the wrong way. God will always guide us in the right direction. And you already know sometimes that may even mean waiting on God. But wisdom, true wisdom, lets us know and tells us God's always right. I can trust him. He'll always give the right answer. He'll always guide me according to his will. I just have to follow, trust him, and believe that he will come through for me. And James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Again, you think about, thinking back to Nehemiah, Nehemiah, after he prayed his brief prayer, goes on to tell the king everything that's happened. Everything that had happened to Jerusalem, what he wanted to do. And I believe, and you look at it, Nehemiah first went to God, just asking God for wisdom. He prayed a quick prayer, and God blessed it. And you read the whole book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem. The king allows him to leave and go back and rebuild the city walls and rebuild the gates along with other people that helped him, not just by himself. But then the king gives him letters for the governors on the other side of the river that Nehemiah was allowed to take wood out of the king's wood, and whatever supplies he needed, the king would provide for it. I mean, you talk about, my God shall supply all your need. I mean, that's wisdom. You know what? Whatever I need, God will provide for it. I don't need to fret about it. I don't need to worry about it. And God gave Nehemiah a great opportunity. I mean, he laid the opportunity, really, in Nehemiah's lap. And Nehemiah, obviously, he trusted God. He prayed, and God gave him exactly what God wanted him to do, and God prospered. He prospered the work that Nehemiah went to do. Listen, you and I both know it's not enough just to believe there's a God. I've met plenty of people that have said, oh, I know there's a big man upstairs. Oh, I know there's a God. I just don't follow him. I just don't believe in his son. But I've also met some Christians who don't have faith in God. Our faith is always going to be tested. Your faith will always be tried, because we live in a world, we have families, we have relationships, and we have life. And our faith is going to be tested at times, and sometimes God will bring the test to us to see how we handle it, to see if we try to handle it on our own or if we look to him first and say, Lord, you allowed this in my life, so would you give me some wisdom? Would you show me what you want me to do? Help me to accomplish what it is that you want me to accomplish. And that's really trusting that you have a reliable God, one that sees you, knows you, and wants to do great, mighty things in your life. Second thing I want you to see real quick, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4. Again, as you think about just the fact that God is reliable in what he provides, he's also reliable in his promises. And I'm glad that God has never failed on one of his promises. I've had people, you've had people fail you on their promises, but God has never failed. You cannot put too much stock in man. Man will fail you at any given time. And you and me, we have failed people at times too. But God never fails. God's always faithful, and he always keeps his promises. There in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. One thing that God promises that David makes note of back in Psalm 18 is that God promises to give strength. He promises to give you strength when you need it. Again, David says, the Lord's my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. Remember what Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, because in your weakness, then I'm strong. In Paul's weakness, Jesus would be his strength. You know that, I know that, but there are times where sometimes we forget or we're not quick to remember that God is our strength. And God promises to give us strength. I mean, there's so many accounts in Scripture. You think about the woman that had the issue of blood, the blood disease for 12 years. And she spent all her savings going to every known physician. Spent all her money trying to get healthy, trying to be healed. And she grew worse until she came to the great physician. And obviously, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Now, I don't know, maybe she felt like she wasn't worthy enough to approach him face to face and ask for healing. Whatever she was thinking, but as soon as she touched the hem of his garment, you know, the Bible says she was made whole. And Jesus stopped and addressed her and told her faith had made her whole. And she had great faith to believe that Jesus could heal just by her touching the hem of her garment. I mean, there's just times in life where you may be sick, and you just need God to give you strength to make it through another day. But I also believe that God can heal sicknesses. God's still the healer. He's still the great physician. What you read in Scripture isn't just what we would call Bible times. God can still heal. And sometimes he doesn't. Just like in the case of Paul. I mean, I've been healed from health issues. I had a colon issue. And I was going to have to be on pills for the rest of my life. And I didn't want to do that. And we prayed about it. We fervently prayed about it. And I haven't had colon issues. It's probably been 17 years now. My wife was here. She could tell me the exact time. But you know, look, God still heals. He still hears your prayers. He still cares about you. And there's times where he allows things to remain, health issues, just like in the case with Paul, the thorn in the flesh, whatever that thorn is. Yet Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. Because there's times where God does want us to be weak, so we will rely on him. So we will continue to trust him, continue to follow him, and continue to see our need of him in our life. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. One of our biggest enemy is the devil. The Bible tells us that. He's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus even said of the devil, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy lives. But for the child of God, greater is he that's in you, that's Jesus Christ, than he that's in the world, that's the devil. You don't have to give the devil room in your life. You don't have to let the devil be the winner in any circumstance in your life. The devil loves to play in the minds of people. He loves for God's people to think that they've lost. To cause them to think that God doesn't love them. To cause them to think that, you know what, you're no good, nobody loves you. I mean, he just gets in the minds of people and just wants to wreak havoc. But God has told us we have victory. Jesus says our faith gives us the victory in this world. And our faith tells us that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, because I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's taken residence in my life. I know he's with me. You know, I mean, when that's in that song that says, you know, you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. My life's been changed. I can see him working in my life. I can see the difference my life is now than the way it was even a year ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I mean, we have a Savior in our life that gives us the strength every day to do whatever he calls us to do, to give us the strength not to give up, not to have doubt, but to walk in faith, knowing we're following the one who died on the cross for our sins, the one who paid the price for us, the one who rose victorious from the grave, the one that sits on the right hand of the Father. I mean, the one that we can look to, and we can go to the throne room of grace, or go to his throne of grace and ask for help in time of need. In 1 Peter chapter 5, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 6 and 7. Peter writes here, he says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he, speaking of God, may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I mean, that's a promise that he is reliable on caring for us, that his care for us will always be reliable. Again, that we trip and fall, he's right there to help us up. You know, Peter is one that is mostly picked upon, but I look at Peter as the average Christian that loves the Lord, walks with the Lord, but then there's times where they make those decisions that weren't the best decisions. You know, where he's the only one other than Christ that walked on water. Because he believed. Jesus said, "Come," and he stepped out of the boat. But then he got so far out and started looking around. The storm hadn't settled down. It was still boisterous. The waves were still huge and high. And he got scared and started sinking because he got his focus off of Christ. And yet he had enough faith and enough sense to cry out to God and say, "Lord, save me." And the Bible records Jesus is right there lifting him up, and they both walk back together to the boat. Because he's always there. He's always there to lift us up. But we can't allow ourselves at any given time to become full of pride to where I don't need any help. Some people struggle with that. It's probably mostly men, but I know there are some women that struggle with pride too. Because the natural instinct is, I can do it. I want to do it. And sometimes the Lord wants us to just say, "Lord, I need your help." Because think about who Peter was. He was a fisherman. He knew how to swim. But you know what? When you're sinking, you're in a panic. Because when I was a little boy and I almost drowned, I had just learned how to swim. So when I was having fun jumping off the diving board into the deep end and swimming over to the side, I just kept doing it over and over. I mean, I was just having a fun, good old time. No one told me, don't do that 20 times in a row because you're going to be tired. And the last time I did it, all my strength was gone. I couldn't swim as soon as I hit that water. I came up once for some air, and that was it. Next thing I knew, I felt someone grab me and up out of the water and onto the side, and I looked, and it was my dad. Thank the Lord he was right there. But you know what? It's a picture of our Heavenly Father always being right there watching us. Watching us, knowing something's about to happen, and he's right there. Ready to help. But there's times where we have to admit, "Lord, I need help. I really, Lord, need your help. I think I know what to do, Lord, but I want you to guide me because I know you care for me." And there are some times where maybe you're just overloaded with care, and the Lord says, "Cast it upon me. Cast all your care upon me." He is a reliable friend. He's always there no matter what time of day it is, no matter what it is you need to talk to him about. Not everybody's like that. Last thing I want you to think about is just the fact his promises are exactly who he is. Faithful, reliable. He's always there. His promises are even loving. When you go back to Psalm 18, you think about what David says. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. David says, I will love you all the time. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He knows that God is his strength. He knows that God is his sustainer. He knows that God's been there for him. He knows that where he's at is only because of God. Remember, he was just a shepherd boy. In fact, his father didn't even think enough about him to even call him to the feast that Samuel had came for, because God wanted to anoint the next king, and Jesse had all his sons come except David, and God's telling Samuel, no, 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 no. And Samuel's like, do you have any more sons? Well, yeah, the youngest. I mean, he's out taking care of the sheep. And Samuel's like, well, call him, because we're not going to sit down and eat until I see him. As soon as David gets there, God says, rise up, anoint him. He's the one. None of us were looking for God. God came looking for us. None of us were seeking God. God sought us. God called us unto him. God brought us into a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. So I am thankful tonight that God is not ever going to cast you or me aside. We're his children. And we have that eternal home in heaven. Again, you know it. You know that you have a reliable God, but there's somebody that may not know it. There's somebody you may be talking to, and they just don't understand how there can be a God that loves them, a God who cares about them, a God who wants to help them. Again, some people have the idea that, okay, yeah, there's probably a God out there, but he doesn't care anything about us. He does, because he gave us the very life that we have, the very breath in our lungs. He's given it to us. Remember, David says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But yet God loves man. God loves every man, woman, and child. So again, as we just think about the reliability of God tonight, just think about even the reliability of his word, that his word is true, his promises are true, his faithfulness is true. He's always there. He's always there. And I just want to continue to encourage us to always, always rely on the Lord. Always look to the Lord for help. Even when you think you know the answer, still, Lord, help me to make the right decision. Lord, I leave it completely up to you. Guide me, help me to make that right decision, so it brings glory to you. Because what happens when you stop relying? When you stop relying on the Lord? How about this? What if you stop relying on gasoline for your car? I'm just not going to put gasoline in anymore. Well, it's not going to drive too far. Once you run out, you run out. God wants us to rely upon him. God wants us to remember that we can. Whatever it is you need, whatever it is I need, he's got the answer and he's got the provision. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we thank you for